This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour two, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, the Big E Sports Show. That's right. Keep the tweets coming in at eRadio Sports Info, eRadiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. Always grateful to our amazing sponsors here at SB Nation. That is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. I tell you what, we have hit on a variety of subjects in our one. Hour two, we're going to power up once again. We're going to talk some MLB. I get the reaction from Tony Castro. He is a New York Times best-selling author, has produced 7 books on baseball. He will be with us. And also, a very special read, 7 Days in Augusta, behind the scenes at the Masters. You know, we're so heartbroken. The Masters will not be underway here in the month of April. They're looking at that it could be postponed and underway in the month of October. But Mark Cazzanero, New York Post sports writer and columnist and best-selling author, he will be with us. So we're looking forward to those interviews. Always looking forward to my producer and his opinions, his insight, and that is Jack McCraw. Give him a follow on Twitter at JackMC15. Jack, let's pick up the conversation and continue what we were talking about when we kicked off the show in Hour 1. The Houston Texans, DeAndre Hopkins, they part ways. It was a stunning move. How do you think Bill O'Brien has handled this situation and just his overall leadership?
The situation has been poor. I always thought he wasn't a bad head coach. I mean, yeah, he could be predictable at times, but as soon as he got into personnel moves, when he moved guys like Jadeveon Clowney and Dwayne Brown, and now DeAndre Hopkins, those are 3 of the best 5 players in Texans history. So I'm thinking he's handling his moves as GM not very well.
You know, and it's interesting, too. We've heard so many things I had mentioned as far as the wild claims about how he handled the situation in that conversation with DeAndre Hopkins. What do you think his perception is now among NFL players, if that's true, that he made that comparison?
If he made those comparisons, that's true. That's absolutely ridiculous to compare DeAndre Hopkins to Aaron Hernandez in any way, shape, or form.
Hey, give me a quick hit as we get ready to go to break. Tom Brady, big move to Tampa. Your reaction, and all I can think is it's a desirable destination for a lot of free agents.
Wow. Crazy that he's a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to go around the horn. Tony Castro, New York Times best-selling author, will be up next.
On SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it's Friday night. Welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Keep the text messages coming in, or the tweets, I should say. You can join us at eRadio Sports Info, eRadiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. Always got to recognize the folks that make it happen, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. You can get guaranteed low, low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Well, Major League Baseball, they have had to adjust as well their expectations with the start of the 2020 season. Opening day has been delayed. We've got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to go around the horn in our next segment on SB Nation, and we are delighted to have back with us. He is a best-selling author, an impressive resume of 7 books on baseball, and delighted to have joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, and that is Tony Castro. Good evening, Tony.
Good evening.
It's great to have you with us.
Always great being on your show.
Well, we love having you on the program. In fact, it was a year ago we were talking about your latest release, Mantle, the best thing there ever was. Let's talk about some of the books that you have produced in the past, but we definitely wanted you to weigh in on this pandemic that has impacted virtually every, you know, part of our lives. I mean, Major League Baseball has canceled the remainder of spring training. As I just mentioned, the delay of opening day. What has been your reaction? There's much more important things than sports right now, right?
Of course there are. But, you know, it affects life in general. And part of life is sports and the diversion of not only Americans, but people worldwide. And in Major League Baseball, it's sad that we're having what's happening right now, because I think this is a highly anticipated season because of several things, among them the Houston Astros. How are they going to react to the pressure on them after the news that broke and the questions about the 2017 World Series championship? And, you know, my personal opinion on that was that I think the Astros are my pick to win this World Series if we have one this year. I assume we will. I'm a great optimist in believing that we'll get back to some kind of routine sooner rather than later, and that we'll probably have a season of about maybe 140, 142 games, something like that, the normal season being 162, obviously. But 140 games, I wouldn't be surprised if we have that. It might be truncated a little bit. And all of this, of course, hinging on some positive result to what's unfolding before us.
You know, what teams might benefit the most of having a modified or an abbreviated season?
Being a Yankee fan, obviously the Yankees are going to, because I think their pitching staff had some setbacks here early in the spring training season, and it benefits them to get a start maybe in late May, early June, just for that reason. Some of the players on the Yankees, you know, probably need a little more rest than others. I think the teams with an older roster, the Dodgers are another one that fit into this. It may not seem like a lot, 22 games, you know, from let's say 140 to 162, but the amount of wear and tear on bodies, especially those of the athletes who are in their 30s and moving up in years, can be enormous. And on a player like the great pitcher for the Dodgers, who was moving up in years and who always struggles late into the season, a season for him that begins in June may work out better for him come September and October, assuming that the Dodgers can get there.
New York Times bestselling author of 7 books. We're going to talk about his latest release on Mickey Mantle. Tony Castro was with us on SB Nation. You can actually give him a follow on Twitter at Tony_Castro, C-A-S-T-R-O. And it is interesting to see how not only in baseball, but so many of the leagues are responding to just this pandemic, the coronavirus, how it has set back and caused so much uncertainty, specifically like Major League Baseball. I mean, the clubs pledged $30 million for the ballpark employees. MLB's 30 teams each stepped up and donated $1 million each to assist the employees. I mean, I thought that was tremendous. What's your takeaways when you read that?
Oh, that is fabulous. I mean, I wonder how much pressure was put on them by Mark Cuban. You know,
okay.
I guess he and the...
he led the way. Mark did.
Yeah. That, I think, just kind of drew a big breath from a lot of people in Dallas who were dependent on these, you know, week-to-week kinds of salaries, who work in the concession stands, at the stadiums, or at the facility, and the same way across Major League Baseball. I happen to have several friends who work for the Dodgers in the stadium, and with the Dodgers in the management part, but who work there when the season begins. And a good bit of their income is derived from, you know, having that second job that they depend on. Across the country, I think, in major league cities as well.
Mm-hmm. Hey, glad you're with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Our very special guest is Tony Castro, a New York Times best-selling author. And let's shift gears. Before we run out of time, we want to talk about your latest release. Last year, 2019, it's titled Mantle, The Best Thing, The Best There Ever Was. We've got time to read, so if they Google that, what are they going to find when they open up that book?
The book has done well. I mean, we released it last year. Roman and Littlefield released it last year with the anticipation of pushing it this year. This summer will mark the 25th anniversary of Mickey Mantle's death, and there's a number of different things taking place across Major League Baseball, especially at Yankee Stadium. I mean, the Yankees have always made a profit on Mantle even after his better days. I mean, no player in Major League history has had as many special days. Mickey Mantle had 4 special Mickey Mantle days beginning in 1965. When the Yankees, I mean, that was their last great year during that period. And then they had 3 subsequent periods after that, act. Then they had another one when he died in 1995. And there are plans underway to have at least one, maybe two, Mantle Remembrance Days at the stadium this year. I mean, talk about profiting on someone's legacy. I suppose, you know, it is business. It is a baseball business.
And you really do bring to life Mickey Mantle. I mean, his greatness as an athlete, his greatness as a ball player. But you also talk about the lows, the highs and the lows. So if some of our listeners, they're just tuning in, I mean, where can they go and get a copy of the book?
They can go to MickeyMantle.live. It's a special domain set up that will take you right into Amazon, let's say, and you can buy the book at Amazon. You can also go to TonyCastroBooks.com, and that will also get you into another site that sells not only that particular Mantle book, but the other two that I've written about Mantle and the other books you were talking about, Dimash and Mick, Mickey Mantle, America's Prodigal Son, and a book I did about Garrick and the Babe.
Okay, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about our last conversation. I think you shared your dad. He was a big Yankees fan, right?
He was a big Yankees fan. He was big. My dad played in the Mexican leagues in Mexico.
Did he really? Okay.
Yes, in the late 40s and into like the early 50s, World War II.
Uh-huh.
He had played baseball in the CC camps that existed back in the Depression, and then played baseball in the military, and then coming back. I guess he he was still a young man, and he went down with some friends to Mexico and played in the Mexican leagues down there, and did that for about close to 4 years. And all the time, you know, just a big Yankees fan. I think I told you the story that when he came back from the war, he was a big Joe DiMaggio fan. He came into New York, stayed there for several days. He wanted to see Joe DiMaggio play. He went to the stadium. They happened to have DiMaggio throwing the first pitch of the game, but DiMaggio was still in uniform. And so that was a great disappointment that he didn't see DiMaggio play, but he did see him throw out a first pitch at a game there, still in his uniform.
And we would love to have you back on the program to talk about that and highlight it. New York Times bestselling author of 7 books. We are way over on our time. He is simply the best. That is Tony Castro. Give him a follow on Twitter at Tony_Castro. You be safe, and we'll talk real soon. Thank you so much, Tony, for joining us tonight on SB Nation.
Thank you. You be safe as well.
Of course. Much more coming your way. The next generation of sports radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Friday night, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Many different ways to connect. Always love to hear from our audience. You can join us live on Twitter at eRadio Sports Info, eRadioSports.com, and podcast. Arena.com. We need to pause and recognize and thank the folks that make it happen at SB Nation. And that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. You can get guaranteed low, low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And in our next segment, we are going to continue inside the ropes. We're talking a lot of golf tonight. We are super excited to highlight one of the most anticipated books out in spring of 2020. It is a must read. I was just sharing with our next guest. I was in Augusta, Georgia last week, and I had a chance to get a sneak peek of his new book when I was at Barnes & Noble. The title of the book, Google it right now, 7 Days in Augusta, Behind the Scenes at the Masters. We are so delighted to have with us, joining us on the Progressive Insurance Line, New York Post sports writer, columnist, and best-selling author. That is Mark Canizzaro. Good evening, Mark. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Alyssa. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Listen, I mean, we've got a lot of ground to cover. Looking forward to highlighting your brand new book. But it's been crazy right now. I mean, the PGA Tour completely shuts down in response to the coronavirus. The 2020 Masters Tournament has been postponed. There is some possible hints. They're trying to figure out, you know, when they will reschedule. Perhaps Rory McIlroy, you know, said that'd be pretty cool if they did that in October. But let's just start off our conversation with, you know, just all that has transpired over the past couple of weeks. I mean, obviously, this is a real bummer for you personally, because the timing of everything being canceled is not good when you're trying to release a book, right? So how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, I was actually out on tour covering the Arnold Palmer Invitational down at Orlando, and then I was in Jacksonville for the Players' Championship, and that's certainly when everything kind of hit the fan. You know, and it just, ever since then, Alyssa, things have just happened fast. I mean, everything changes by the minute, really. And, you know, obviously now we're to a point where every sporting event in our country is either having been canceled or put on hold. You know, certainly selfishly speaking, as you referenced, you know, I'm hoping that the Masters does take place. You know, they say they're going to make it happen. And I think if the Masters, no pun intended, at Augusta, generally have the wherewithal to make things happen. You know, so there's a lot of power down there. So I anticipate that they will play the tournament. I know there's been speculation that they might not, but there are some couple of dates in October that apparently they're looking at. And you know, listen, hopefully we're on the other side of all this stuff by October. I mean, I hope it's a lot sooner than that. But there's so many uncertainties now in everything, you know, sports and all of our daily lives that, you know, nobody really knows what to think.
New York Post sports writer, columnist, and best-selling author Mark Canizero is with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. We're going to highlight in just a moment his new book that is out, titled 7 Days in Augusta, Behind the Scenes at the Masters. And Mark, I think you're exactly right. I mean, really, we all have just been really struggling to try to understand the full potential, the impact of the coronavirus. You had talked about some of the recent events that you had been at as far as with the PGA Tour, the canceling the Players' Championship because of the concern. You know, there had been talk, though, that they might just play without spectators. What do you think of the PGA Tour's response to the coronavirus?
Well, you know, I mean, they were in a difficult situation because they were certainly in the heart of their season. And, you know, as was the NBA and NHL and whatnot. So I don't think it would have. I was, to be frank, I was actually surprised when word started coming down on the Wednesday night of last week, that, you know, the NBA was canceling its, you know, was suspending its season, I should say, and, you know, some other leagues were beginning to talk about following. I was actually surprised the PGA Tour was even thinking about playing, you know, the Friday, the second round, without the spectators.
You know, I have to wonder what the mindset is of so many of the PGA Tour players, just how this might affect their psyche, because how do you practice? How do you get prepared when there's nothing on the calendar and there really isn't a timetable for returning and just so much uncertainty?
Well, I think there's two things here. First of all, you can practice because you can go play golf. Obviously, you're not getting it in the heat of battle. But the other thing is, you know, everybody's going to be at the same disadvantage, you know, when the tour gets back going again. You know, I mean, they're going to eventually, you know, have tournaments on the schedule. They'll get starting getting back to, and they'll reschedule some things, perhaps like the Masters. But, you know, everybody's in the same boat, so there's really no advantage. And as we sit here today, you still can play golf. I'm actually just talking to you off air a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working on a story for the New York Post about how this has affected the golf courses in our area. And I spoke to a dozen and a half general managers and pros, and you know, the New York City courses, they're telling me they're packed. You know, and the weather's starting to get a little warmer up here, and
yeah.
I mean, it's an outlet, it's a release for people, and it's a place where you can actually social distance yourself, because, you know, that's kind of the natural, you know, way to play golf anyway. You know, you're my ball's in the left rough and yours is in the right rough. You know, so we go and we play. So right now you can still play. You know, as long as there's no shelter in place edicts, which New York City has talked about in recent days. That's one of the few things you can do recreationally other than just go take a walk in the park. So, you know, listen, these tour players can still play and practice. You know, it's just they're not going to have that competition. But you know what? When they do get back to the competition, they're all going to be in the same boat. So nobody has an advantage. And in the reality is, in the big picture of these things, you know, these are minute problems, you know, whether these guys can get their practice in, you know, by the time the tournaments get started again, so they'll be fresh. You know, I mean, hopefully we just get these tournaments going, you know, as soon as possible, maybe late in the spring or early in the summer.
Absolutely. You are listening to The Voice, New York Post sports writer, columnist, best-selling author. Mark Canizzaro is with us on SB Nation Radio. We extended this invitation. You know what? He's got a new book that's out. You got to go get a copy. We've got plenty of time to read. No excuses. 7 days in Augusta, behind the scenes at the Masters. So tell us a little bit about, as far as, you know, what makes this book unique. I mean, so much unquestionably has been chronicled, written about the Masters. Your book is unique. Why?
Well, I tried to make it a little bit of a blend of some. I've covered 25 Masters, the last 25. I've covered right up to last year when Tiger won his fifth. So I've seen amazing things on the golf course there, but I've also, you know, been a part of and witnessed a lot of interesting stuff that you don't really see on the TV broadcasts, you know, that take place, whether it's in and around the course or in and around the town, and just some of the culture down there at Augusta, and just how that small, you know, small city transforms itself for that 1 week a year, and just how powerful, you know, and the incredible influence that the, you know, the powers that be at Augusta National have over that city. So, you know, there's some chapters on some of the amazing things I've seen, you know, in my time covering the tournament. You know, Tiger winning his first in 97, where he kind of introduced himself to the world, and you know, Greg Norman, some of the collapses we've seen. Greg Norman, obviously, in 96 with, you know, when Nick Faldo came and stole it. Really, Greg gave it away, and, you know, Jordan Spieth's highs and lows, and but I also try to get into some other stuff, some different flavors, you know, about, you know, that go on about that town during that week. You know, I do a chapter on the Butler Cabin, for example. People don't really know about it. It's almost kind of this mythical spot where the green jacket is presented on Sunday night, you know, with Jim Nantz down there. And, you know, I sat in that Butler Cabin and interviewed Nantz, and he was fantastic. And I did a chapter on the famous oak, the large oak tree that's right out in front of the back of the clubhouse.
Okay.
There.
Uh-huh.
It's just a congregation of the who's who in golf, you know, during that 1 week a year. Deals are made, you know, over down under that tree. You know, the most famous people in golf go through there. John Daly down the street at Hooters, you know, every year signing whatever people want to sign.
Come on, Mark.
Know. Yeah. So
good stuff.
Yeah, so just stuff like that.
Oh, it is a great read. It is titled 7 Days in Augusta, Behind the Scenes at the Masters. You know, it's interesting, as I was listening to you, you said you 25 Masters. This would have been, what, your 26th. So pull back the curtain. I mean, what was that like the first time you covered the Masters? What year, and who won that year?
Well, my first year was the 94 Masters. Jose Maria Olazabal won his first of two. And, you know, I actually do a chapter in the book of these players, everybody's first impressions when they go there. And so many of them are the same. You kind of walk in those gates and you just see, it's like you're walking into Disney World. It doesn't seem real, you know, because it's so perfect and green and manicured. And, you know, the one thing you do notice there that everybody mentions, every single player, you know, Phil Mickelson wrote the foreword for me in the book, and one of his first impressions was a very common one. You have no idea watching on television how hilly the golf course is. The elevation change there is dramatic, and you don't see that on television because it doesn't, the TV cameras can't pick that up. You know, so those are the kinds of things, that the first things you see is just how perfect it is, and it's not a weed out of place in the place. There's no weeds, period, actually. There's not a wood chip out of place. So that's really, you know, to me, that's the first thing I noticed when I get in there, because Augusta National is on a road called Washington Road, which is a very kind of honky-tonk, you know, kind of main street.
Yes.
That so many of us have in many of our towns. I don't know what in Houston that road would be, but, you know, there's strip malls and auto dealerships and chain restaurants and grocery stores and strip joints and everything, you know. And then you have this tiny little street, Magnolia Lane, with a sign that's about as large as a cocktail napkin at a bar that says Augusta National Golf Club, you know, and you go down that road, man, and it just transforms, you know. It's a fascinating thing to see for the first time.
I would equate it quickly
if I could, Alyssa, is remembering the first baseball game you ever went
Absolutely.
To as a kid. Like, I remember going to Shea Stadium as a young kid with my dad bringing me, And this, when you walk through that walkway from the, you know, from the concession areas out to where the seats are, and you see the lights beaming on the green outfield grass, like, that to me is what that first look at Augusta was like.
We are up against the clock. It is a must-read, 7 days in Augusta, behind the scenes at the Masters. We're not going to wait till October if they reschedule the Masters. We got to have you back, Mark. So much more that we want to get into. It is an amazing read. Thank you so much. Congratulations. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks so much.
Of course. Much more coming your way. The next generation of sports radio, SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, it's Friday night. Welcome back, SB Nation Radio. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Before we get underway with our next segment, many different ways to connect. We'd love to hear from all of you at Twitter, at eRadioSports. You can always email the show, info@eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. We'd like to recognize the folks that make it happen at SB Nation, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. You can get guaranteed low, low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And tonight we are hitting on a variety of subjects. Right now we're going to go back inside the ropes. We have been looking so forward to our next guest. We have had the calendar circled. Delighted to have with us for the very first time, he is the swing instructor for a number of the game's best talents, including Dustin Johnson. Alan Terrell is the director of instruction and the managing partner at the Dustin Johnson Golf School. We had an opportunity to meet him earlier this month at DJ's Junior World Championships, and what an amazing experience and a beautiful time we had at TPC Myrtle Beach. Good evening, Alan. It's great to have you on the show for the first time.
Yeah, great having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, before we recap and get your takeaways from the 2020 Dustin Johnson Junior World Championship, let's talk about the impact of the coronavirus, as many of the golf courses across the country are really trying to figure out, I would say, you know what, grapple with the decision. Should they stay open or should they close? There's been a big change in the schedule. How has this impacted you, and specifically with your golf school?
I think it's impacted just because folks are a little worried to travel. They're obviously, no one knows what to do. It's a historic time. So I definitely don't have the answers. We're trying to keep things as normal as possible for our local clients. So being that it's a one-on-one interaction, it's a fairly safe environment, from what we have read. So we're continuing business as usual as much as we can.
So TPC Myrtle Beach is still open?
It is. And, you know, not to speak for our golf course owners, but we're all kind of a big family here in Myrtle Beach. You know, they feel like this is kind of a release for a lot of people. So they kind of feel obligated to stay open because, you know, the restaurants have closed, entertainment's closed. Golf right now is probably the safest sport or entertainment that you could do. So our owners are staying open, taking a lot of precautions through sanitation and things like that. But we're trying to be, again, as business as usual for our clients.
You are listening to the voice of Alan Terrell. He is the director of instruction, the managing partner of the Dustin Johnson Golf School. And the sports world, it certainly has. We've seen it, Alan. It has been hit so hard with so many cancellations as this pandemic continues to spread. You know, when we started learning about this, I mean, how did the coronavirus, how did that change your outlook just overall and even within golf? I mean, I have to ask you, you talk about you have very special clients locally, TPC Myrtle Beach. It is open. Are you still playing? I mean, and Alan, you better be carrying hand sanitizer with you wherever you go, right?
Well, you know, it's hard to get that stuff.
That's true.
That and toilet paper, you got no chance. So wherever that came from. But, yeah, we're definitely, you know, keep extra cleaning. Yeah, you know, again, who knows what's necessary, but might as well do what we can. But again, we're feeling the impact of our out of town clients. not wanting to travel because if they come to town, we don't have restaurants open. Right. So it's a super strange situation. We're open, but our resources in the area are not. So, again, so it's going to be mostly local until we figure out what the heck this thing's going
to
do.
You know, Alan, does it kind of feel like, you know, listening to you, that this has been a hurricane in spring? I mean, due to the impact of this.
Unfortunately, I would say 60 to 75% of budgets are made through revenue in March, April, and May.
Right.
For a lot of these golf courses. It's their higher end rate. It's when the golf courses are in the best shape. The weather's the greatest. And for these folks who really rely on package-based play, you know, unfortunately, like you said, it is a hurricane mentality, except, you know, usually hurricanes, bottled waters and canned food, milk and bread. I don't know where the toilet paper came from for this one. But, you know, besides that, it feels exactly like a hurricane. You know what's out there. You don't know what's really going to come, if it's going to come on shore, if it's going to stay in the ocean. But it's more strange than that because this is impacting people worldwide, where it's not just an East Coast thing like a hurricane may be for us. Yep. I know you guys struggle with those too in the Gulf.
Yeah, and down here in Houston, the swing instructor for a number of the Gulf's best talents, including the great Dustin Johnson, Alan Terrell, is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio. So for you personally, and just for your client base, I mean, what is the focus right now? What would you say even DJ's mindset is? Because, you know, it's got to be hard to, you know, there's nothing on the calendar in terms of they don't know when the PGA Tour will or might resume play in 2020.
They have zero idea. And DJ and I just spoke yesterday, and he's like, I shouldn't say what he's going to say. That may not be polite for everyone who's really struggling. But he's like, you know, he's asking me for a job. So, he doesn't, obviously joking and not to make short of the folks that are struggling now. But, he doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know, is the season done? You know, he doesn't know when to start training. You know, you don't want to start too early and be tired by the time the season starts, because now these guys, instead of picking and choosing, they're going to play every week. So we don't know, like, we're trying to figure out when we're going to start up training and start tournament prep. And right now we pushed it till, you know, around Easter. So we'll see. No one knows.
Yeah, there are so many unknowns, and just how heartbreaking, too. Just the Masters, I mean, but they are looking at potentially that it could be in the fall. That'd be pretty special to have the Masters in the fall, right?
Yeah. Yeah, those folks, they can make anything happen over there. They'll ship in some blooming azaleas for us to make it feel like April. Uh-huh. But, they have some battles there with their grass and how they prep that golf course for the event. It's very heavily winter overseeded, so that really limits what time they can produce, I think, that event the way the fine folks there would like for it to be played. Same for all these events. It's just a different, it's going to be a different agronomy, possibly, that these tour players have played these events in years past.
Our special guest tonight is Alan Terrell, joining us on SB Nation Radio. You recognize the name. He is the director of instruction, the managing partner for the Dustin Johnson Golf School. We had an opportunity to meet him earlier this month, actually the last week in February. That's because my son Stephen had the opportunity to compete against an elite field of 50 boys at the Dustin Johnson Junior World Championship. It was just a premier junior golf experience. Give us your takeaways. And Alan, was this year five for the tournament there?
Yeah, this was our fifth annual. So we're real proud of how that tournament has grown. It's something that DJ wanted to do to give back. Obviously, had a lot of options just to kind of be another AJGA titled event, but he wanted it to be at TPC and wanted to kind of have some more control over invitations and things like that. So, hit or miss with weather. This year, again, we missed the weather.
Yeah.
Quite challenging for our families and our competitors. But, still hopefully they enjoyed the hospitality and the work our volunteers put into that event.
Oh, TPC Myrtle Beach. I mean, it was some tough conditions out there, a true test of golf, especially those pin placements, right? It was like, I mean, it was a true, like a pro venue. I mean, that was, I mean, you had to grind out there for sure.
That's BJ's, his mantra there. I wouldn't have set it up that hard, but he's like, you know, if we're going to spend the money and make this feel like a tour event, then they need to know what we'd go through each week. And I'm like, all right, well, so, you know, each year, these flags and the setup's going to be a little more challenging than what a lot of juniors may be used to. But again, a lot of college coaches like this event because if you play well here, they know that you're going to play well anywhere they play in college. And, good players like it. I know your boy likes it because he's a good player. And,
thank you.
And obviously played hard. Played well up on Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. Played well Saturday in some tough conditions.
You're listening to The Voice, Alan Terrell, Director of Instruction, joining us tonight, SB Nation Radio of the Dustin Johnson Golf School. And, you know, you have an impressive resume, Alan. You've been a collegiate coach. Let's talk about now just how much the game has changed, how much more these juniors are prepared. What impresses you the most, even from some of the talent that you saw at DJ's junior tournament?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot more information, obviously, out there with social media and YouTube and a lot more resources for coaches to learn from and do a better job coaching. It's definitely different than the old days. These kids have a lot more access to good coaching in general and obviously more access to good equipment, which is a huge part of the game. There was not such a thing as being fitted when I played junior golf. All the top juniors are going to have custom fitted clubs perfectly for them. So they're getting all the resources tour players get for the most part. So it's quite a show that these juniors put on these days.
You know, Alan, even the juniors, the able to get fit for clubs, but I just think of even the nutrition component. I mean, that's huge too, mm-hmm. how well they are taking care of their bodies and even with fitness.
For sure. If that junior has the motivation and self-discipline, you look at the strength. You know, back when I played, who had heard of golf fitness? I mean, that was kind of a joke, really. Now they got their own workouts. They have their own, like you said, nutrition plan. It's a lot more specialized than it's ever been. And you see that in the success that these young juniors are having on the golf course.
We're going to continue the conversation and be inside the ropes with Alan Terrell, the Director of Instruction and Managing Partner at Dustin Johnson Golf School.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin Alan Terrell. We're wrapping up our time. The swing instructor for a number of games, best talents, including Dustin Johnson, with us tonight. And I want to ask you one more question. You know, as we talk about TPC Myrtle Beach, this is a very special place for Dustin Johnson. This is where he grew up, and he has made a point to give back. Talk about how just important it is for him to continue to be a part of the junior game. Just like his golf tournament from start to finish, I mean, it was first class. You had the Golf Channel out there with, you know, providing live feeds and updates. I mean, that was super impressive on a first class facility.
From DJ's, you know, giving and charitable side, I mean, he doesn't even look at it like he's giving. It's something he just loves to do. Where everyone's like, he's kind of in awe that he flies in and spends time. He sincerely loves that. And he's, you know, fortunately, his brother-in-law was getting married, so he couldn't stay as
That's
long
right.
as he
yep.
wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he would stay out there you know, forever. He's out there in freezing cold weather with him, trying to, you know, at least say hi to a few juniors. He loves it. Obviously, you know, all of us athletes like to see our name on the scoreboard, and you know, I know he loves seeing his name on a high level event. And he loves when kids come up to him and tell him how much they enjoy the tournament. Every time he's like, I don't care how much it costs, let's make sure we keep improving. That's how he is with this event.
Okay, as we wrap up our time with Alan Terrell, some of our listeners, hopefully we will power through this coronavirus, but everybody wants to flock to. We will be ready for a vacation at TPC Myrtle Beach. Where can they go and find out more about the Dustin Johnson Golf School? And perhaps they want to work on their swing. They want to spend some time with you or one of your instructors. What do they need to do? Where can they go, Alan?
Yeah, DustinJohnsonGolfSchool.com or DustinJohnson.com. You Google Dustin Johnson, we're going to pop up pretty close. Just call us, email us, and we're here to help any level golf game, whatever beginner to tour player, we're here to help you get better.
They got you covered. Yeah.
Seven days a week.
Director of Instruction, the Dustin Johnson Golf School. First time on the show at SB Nation Radio. A true pleasure. Thank you so much, Alan. We look forward to another conversation. We're ready for golf to get back.
Yes, we're ready for a lot of things to get back. But thanks for having me. A true, true honor to be on your show.
Thank you so much, and you be safe. That, of course, was Alan Terrell, the Director of Instruction and Managing Partner of Dustin Johnson Golf School. A big thank you to all of our guests and our lineup. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. Be safe, everyone.